In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. You know, it's a fairly recent condition in the life of the church to add chapters and verse numbering. So when we begin with the passage that we have just prayed from St. Luke, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. After what things? I can't compete with a child, so if he's not going to be quiet, you have to take him. So if you read at the end of chapter 9, you will find out that the Lord sent his disciples to Samaria. And the Samaritans refused them, which is a funny thing because we don't have an exact timeline. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, you have the story of Fotini, whose icon we have in the back. She was the woman at the well, the sinner woman, and Jesus came to her. And this was the city was called Sychar, S-Y-C-H-A-R. And this is a city of the Samaritans. And when she had completed her interrogation, essentially, with the Lord, she ran to the people and said, come and see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And so the Samaritans came, and the Samaritans received him with gladness and begged him to stay with them 2 more days, which he did. But now you have in this story, the disciples were sent to Samaria. I don't know what city. They wouldn't pay attention to anything they said, and the disciples came back and they were so angry. They asked the Lord, is it okay for us, by your permission, that we send down hellfire and burn these people up? I know you've been in that position from time to time in your own life where you were carrying a message from someone whom you esteemed very highly. And you want the others to be impressed as much as you are with this person. And so therefore, to obey whatever message it was that they were sending so that they completed all of the instructions within the scope of the message. And when they wouldn't pay attention, you got angry. You got angry. I remember one time this is a long time ago. I used to listen to things that were way above my pay grade when I was just in high school. But William F. Buckley used to have a TV program called Firing Line. And on this day, he had a young black man, Jesse Jackson. He's now an old black man. And he was speaking about a subject, and William F. Buckley produced a number of very luminous scholars to support his point of view. And then Jesse Jackson brought out a bunch of scholars that nobody had ever heard of. But Jesse Jackson said something that was very important, and it's important for you to know this. He said, I am just as impressed by this group of scholars as you are that other group of scholars. You understand? Here they are now, both messengers. They are both messengers. Now, am I going to heap dirt on the head of those who sent you? Because then the reciprocal is going to take place. The disciples didn't know what to do, but they knew that they were in the presence of someone who spoke for God if he wasn't God himself. Remember that the evolution of faith it took time and it wasn't completed in the case of some of the Lord's disciples until after the resurrection. You can remember what the apostle Judas, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," after he put his fingers in the wounds that the cross had created in the body of the Savior. So after the Lord had sent them and they came back and they were so upset, you know, he appointed 70 others. Some scholars say 72. And they were to go to prepare the way for every place that he was going to visit. And he said to them, "I have these instructions for you." And he said it in a particular way. He said, "What I want from you is to depend on me." Now, how are you going to depend on something? Imagine if I told some of you, "Give me your wallet, your credit cards, and your cell phone, and the keys to your car. And now I'm going to send you on a trip." Well, how am I going to get there? Don't worry. Well, how am I going to get food and lodging? Don't worry. What if I get in trouble? Where's my cell phone? Don't worry. So the Lord told them, he said, "Carry neither money bag, sack, sandals, and greet no one along the road." He didn't say not to greet somebody because he didn't want them, you know, to be impolite. I mean, he didn't want them to be impolite. He didn't want them to become distracted. Sometimes when you meet a friend and you have great affection for that friend, you will spend time with them and forget exactly where the time has gone. You will have lost the day because you haven't seen them in a long time. And he said to them, "I want you to, when you go into the city, if somebody says, 'Here, come with me,' go with them. Don't look at the man and judge what kind of house he's going to have. Don't look at a man and say, 'Well, he's poorly dressed. That means he's got a poor house. That means the food I'm going to eat is going to be poor. I'm really thirsty. You know, all I'm going to get is like warm water.'" Don't look for the wealthy man. You know, I remember I was received in homes, if you know Egypt, you know, I was in Zamalek. I was in the places that were the most cheesy, and everybody was so generous and overspent on my behalf, because I was going to be the first American ordained in the Coptic Orthodox Church, and so I was a kind of celebrity, and I was traveling with people who, one of whom was the secretary for Pope Shenouda. So I went into very, very wealthy places, you know, but I was received most generously with the poor. At the wealthy place, I sat on a table that the surface of the table was made of marble, you know, and the floors were marble, and the silver wasn't a brightly burnished metal, it was actually silver. Great wealth. I rode elevators. I didn't take the stairs. The Lord is saying, you're going to grieve some people, and all of these belong to me. The poor belong to me just as the rich. And do not make in your ministry a distinction. And he says further, whatever city you enter, eat such things as set before you. And to heal the sick. Healing the sick was sometimes, you know, not a physical malady. Healing the sick was sometimes being in the presence of somebody who had demonic possession, or somebody who had been bereaved, had lost somebody that they loved very much, and the spirit of sadness had just overcome them, and they were so depressed alleviate those things. You know, most of the sickness in our church, in this church, is mental. We have mental sickness in our church. We don't have, except for my bad back. but think about it. The brightness that would be on the faces of everyone if some of the burdens, the psychological and the spiritual burdens, were lifted, right? Even some of these things are very trivial things, but in the lives of the people who have to bear them, for them it becomes a distinct and terrible thing to bear. You know, some kids worry about getting acne. You know, you think, well, everybody gets acne when they're a teenager. Well, tell the teenager that. And girls, oh my God, the things that girls have wrong with them, you wouldn't believe. You know, I'm too short, I'm too tall, my hair is too fuzzy, my hair's not fuzzy enough, my nose is too big, my ears stick out, they go on and on. And I always say to them, I said, look, somebody married your mother. Somebody married your mother. So you're going to get married too. Don't worry. And you know, but as trivial as these things sound and the humor that I'm trying to inject into them, so not everything is, you know, just sturm.